This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Let's talk about another case, the Lankin Snelling case. This one showed up in a college apartment, a young woman, a cheerleader, giving birth alone in the night, then hiding her newborn baby's body in a closet. Another tragedy. In a different way than the David one. Two different tragedies, same kind of psychological thread. Both show what happens when fear and denial overpower reason, when the young brain, not yet wired for long-term thinking, clings to one irrational belief. If no one sees it, it isn't real. Siobhan Scott is with us digging into the psychology of the concealment, how fear, shame, and underdeveloped impulse control can lead young people to make decisions that destroy their lives in an instant. When you look at a case like Lankin Snelling's, a 21-year-old college student giving birth alone and then hiding the baby, I mean, what psychological forces do you see colliding in this moment?
The first thing that came to mind when I read about Lankin Snelling's case was the idea of very likely what we call a cryptic pregnancy. And this is it sounds very strange, particularly to most of us who have ever been pregnant. But, and I do have data on this one, 1 in 500 women get to their 5th month of pregnancy, so about 20 some weeks, without any awareness that they're pregnant. Mm-hmm. Now, 1 in 2,500 get all the way to birth without being aware that they're pregnant. And this feels so hard to believe that right. You could be walking around 8 or 9 months pregnant and not know that you're pregnant. And there are some psychological things going along with that. There's denial, you know, again, going back to magical thinking, if I don't want it to be true, it's just not going to be true. And then people carry, depending on their body type and where the placenta is located, and, you know, they carry the babies differently. And often they just think they're gaining weight, or their families think they're gaining weight. And so that was the first thing that came to mind, because usually when you see a neonatal murder of the baby right after birth, it's been one of these cryptic pregnancy situations where the pregnancy was hidden and you had this really interesting mix of factors going on that the people around the young woman didn't know she was pregnant either. And that's usually the outcome.
Here's what's really strange about this. She went to, I think a costume party dressed as a pregnant mom. And she wore like a button that said like Kentucky mom or something of that nature. And there was a picture of her like holding her belly, you know, like a pregnant woman would do. And, you know, it was all just kind of joking. But I'm wondering at that point, I didn't do the math. I didn't count the months. But would she have been pregnant that much at that point? I mean, was this all some weird foretelling of the future? Was this her pretending? Was this her going, oh, shit, I am pregnant. Now I'm going to just fake it so that people don't know that I am. There's so many variables in this case.
Yeah, yeah, there really are. And we really don't know. I think if we had the opportunity to sit down with her and have a nice long conversation, it would start to get clear. And it could go in a variety of ways. But she was clearly an intelligent person. She was not a mentally ill person. Usually in these cases, you don't find psychosis. You don't find other kinds of major mental illness. But the folks do tend to be on the younger side, often teenagers, often they're lower income, not always. But there's often this sense of, I don't want anyone to think badly of me. And so there's this tendency to want to preserve status. And so they convince themselves either that they're not pregnant or that this is all just going to go away somehow.
You know, it's not like we live back in the old days where, you know, oh my God, she's pregnant. We're going to have to send her away to a, you know, boarding school somewhere so nobody in the community finds out. That's not how things are today. So it seems like a very strange circumstance that, mm-hmm. you know, ooh, I'm pregnant out of wedlock. I must be shunned. That's not how we view things in today's society. So why go down this path of nobody can know this about me? I feel very sad for her that she couldn't call mom and dad and say, I've got a problem. Something has happened. Or maybe I've always wanted to be a mom because I read that about her, that she talked about wanting to be a mom. Well, maybe it just happened earlier. Why not embrace it and go, okay, it's not what I planned at this time, but here we are. Mm-hmm. Why couldn't she talk to people around her? Why was there this facade of I must be this perfect cheerleader and, and you know, I'm this upstanding woman and this is a tragic thing that happened to me that I have to hide?
Yeah, it does make you wonder about the kind of support she had around her. And even though overall in society, I don't think we're as brutal as we used to be on young unmarried women who get pregnant, certainly not as brutal as we used to be.
Right.
But it can still vary within families. And some families have very, very high expectations for their kids. And the kids are very ashamed when they don't measure up. And so could that have been a factor here? Maybe based upon the family, maybe.
I think we got to take a look at maybe how she's looking at it. It might not be from that prism. Was this a choice of because the baby was going to be inconvenient or because it was shameful? You know, and I don't know that it was necessarily that she's looking at it as shameful as it was inconvenient, and she had a means to an end. It seems very simplistic, but I wonder if that's just more of what it was. It was inconvenient. It messes up her body. She clearly had a thing about her body. Look at her pictures. That's all it was all about. Look at
but
me.
But she ended
look
up
at me,
giving birth to it, so it's not like this was...
No, well, yes, she did. But look at me, look at me, look at me. Now I got a baby. This could be, you know, it could very well interrupt the social life that she wanted to present and the way that she wanted people to see her. Maybe not necessarily even considering the prism as to which others would see her in, which I'm going to guess just, I don't know. I don't know her family or anything, but just looking at the folks that she was surrounding herself by, if someone had a child, I don't think they would have shunned her with a scarlet letter. It would have been looked at probably in a much more kind light. But again, you have to consider the prism she's looking at it in and what sort of cognitive distortions may have been going on in her mind about how other people viewed her. Mm-hmm. Would that be accurate?
It sure could be, going back to her concern about her body and the impact of a pregnancy on that, where my mind went is terminations. This was Kentucky, right? So
yes. Yeah.
I don't know what the status in the last year, what her options would have been to terminate the pregnancy.
I believe it was illegal from 22 on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that was not an option for her. But there were safe haven baby boxes available. There's one at the Lexington Fire Department right down the road from her. There were things she could have done. She could have put the baby up for adoption, which, you know, her family probably would have been made aware that she was pregnant at this time. Maybe not. She's an adult. She's an adult. She's over 18 years old.
Yeah.
What she does is her own business. I think there are other options to do than just snuff the baby out and put it in a closet.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I mean, the reports say it happened around 4 a.m. There's even what makes this monstrous sounding is the reports that there was evidence of a birth and that there was even that she had heard the sound of the baby. Does that detail sound like panic setting in that you're going to get rid of it or premeditated concealment? Like when I have this, if I have this, obviously it's going to happen some way, shape or form. Do you think this was pre-planned? Like I'm not going to keep this baby. It's going to go away.
I can't imagine. I mean, I've had three kids, right? As an adult person here, I can't imagine going through a childbirth alone in my room for the first pregnancy in particular,
right,
managing this all myself and then saying, and I'm going to snuff the baby and stuff it all in the closet as any kind of a rational plan. I mean, that's just not a rational plan. So I tend to look at she was living in this kind of denial or dissociative state almost, telling herself, this isn't going to happen, this isn't going to happen, this just isn't going to happen. And then, oops, here you are in labor. Now you're pushing. Now you've got a baby. And I think it was just panic driven. I don't think it would have been pre-planned. Because as Stacey said, if you were planning, I'm having this baby and I'm going to get rid of it, there are places you could have dropped it in the box and other things you could have done. So,
And then she went to McDonald's.
Yeah, she literally went to McDonald's and got probably an Egg McMuffin.
We don't know what she thought.
Well, I'm just guessing because, because
that's what Stacey would want. Is
that's what I made one this morning.
Probably
I
made, an Egg McMuffin for sure. I'm going to go with Big Mac. I'm going to say Big Mac might be what.
Depends on when she went. She gave birth allegedly around 4 a.m. So if you think about when breakfast time was, were they serving Big Macs when she went?
Yeah, I know she's sitting there thinking, should I wait for lunch or should I hit it before breakfast runs out? You know, it makes you wonder. I mean, those are the elements to this case that feel so heartless, that feel so disconnected from reality. And obviously, you have a child. Only women who have had children will fully understand what that feels like and what's going through one's mind. But that's a traumatic experience for mentally and physically.
Yeah.
So thinking at that moment in time probably is not, you know, at the top of the list in terms of the best skills that you're exuding into the world. But the fact that it was just kind of keep going on with your day,
it speaks to me of dissociation, this disconnect from this thing that happened was so terrible. I'm disconnecting, and that's a psychological defense mechanism. It's not something that anybody can control. And it's as if this never happened. It's all been put in the closet. A lot of times working with clients, I'll tell them when there's something that's overwhelming them, I'll say, you just put it in a box and put it in the closet for today so you can carry on with your day. And of course, I'm meaning that figuratively, right?
Yeah.
So they're compartmentalizing, but it's almost like she took this horrible thing that had happened, she put it in a box, put it in a closet, a bag in this case, in the closet, and was going to go on with her day. And so it's really kind of a psychological stress reaction. That's sort of how it looks to me. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I have an aunt who's deceased now, but she was an emergency room nurse in Colorado for decades. And she used to tell me about the pregnant women that would come in, younger teenage girls with their mothers, and the mothers would be saying, oh, she's having terrible back pain. Something's wrong with her. You've got to help her. We think she's ate something terrible. She's been poisoned, all these symptoms. She's throwing up. And the nurse would take one look at her and go, she's pregnant. She's in labor. But the mothers didn't get it, and the daughters didn't get it either.
That couldn't happen to my little angel. She's pure. She never would be pregnant.
Yeah, yeah. And so, but the mom got her to the hospital, and they had a baby. You know. So,
Go ahead, Stacey.
What about can we take the angle of, let's just say her hormones were completely effed up? It's a possibility. Yeah. Could this have just been like a psychotic break for her? Is this something that maybe her attorneys could use as a defense of some sort, that she just was completely out of whack from the pregnancy? We know that postpartum depression is real. There are all kinds of factors that they could throw out there. Maybe this wasn't her. This was something that just took over her body.
That's an interesting way to look at it. I think just the hormonal cascade that you get during labor and birth can certainly alter your perceptions and make you have very poor judgment. And so could these have the biological factors going on? Could this have impacted her judgment at that time? I think you could make a case that it had something to do with it.
Are we at the cusp of going off a cliff here with a lot more Lincoln Snellings about to take the stage of this weird, perfect storm of disconnect from reality, narcissism, whatever you want to call it, with younger folks, and lack of care where they should be able to get it, lack of being able to have an abortion if you want to have an abortion. Obviously it feels like we are going back in time where, you know, many years ago when people, you know, most of the many people weren't around, there were, you know, the coat hanger abortions and all sorts of horrible things that were going on all around us. You may have an aunt or an uncle you don't know about because of that. And it's a very, I'm not saying that in jest, it's real. It's very true that was the solution. And that's, you know, that's horrible in itself that one would have to do that to themselves. But are we, you know, you have this storm of, you know, lack of critical thinking, lack of pre-planning anything. Your brain's not fully developed. You don't have the outlets to go get the help and the care that you may need in that sort of a crisis, in that sort of a situation. I can't tell you the amount of women I have met in my life that I've known, that I've been in relationships with, that have told me the story of when I was young, I had one and nobody else knows about it.
Oh, I know a ton of women like that.
Yes.
I can't tell you the amount. And and people are like, oh, I'm not fucking exaggerating.
Nope.
I am not fucking exaggerating.
No.
It is high. And I think society doesn't want to accept that or realize that. But, you know, they had the care that they needed. And some of them are happy with the decision. Some of them say, you know, knowing what I know now or what I feel now, I would have made a different choice. It's a personal choice. But regardless of that, the option was there and they were able to move on with their life and they were able to go and continue their life. Many of them went and had families and kids and you would have no fucking clue that was part of their story. But we've now eliminated that option for so many of them. It's like, well, you can travel across state lines and do this and that. Yeah, you can. And I've seen it with friends. I've seen it. Heartbreaking stories with very close friends of what they've had to do and what they've had to endure with their young people in their lives just to get the care that they need. I feel like Lankin Snelling is just the tip of the iceberg of where you're going to see a lot more of this happening and everybody going, how could she do it? Why did this happen? Well, it's a mix. There's a lot of reasons why. And it doesn't justify Lankin Snelling in any way, shape, or form for what she did. But you get this mix of all that together, these circumstances, you're going to naturally get more of this with folks that don't make great decisions.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. It is a really scary time to be a young woman in the U.S. right now, because there have always been teen pregnancies. There have been molestations, incest. These things are not stopping. They're not going to stop.
And they're not uncommon.
They're not uncommon. And if we could have stopped all these things as a society, we would have stopped it long ago, right? Young girls being exploited by older men. My mother was exploited at age 13 by a 35-year-old man, got pregnant, and married him, was forced to marry him at age 13. So, you know, we are going back to those days. We are returning to those times. And you know, will we see more cases like this? Undoubtedly, and particularly in religious families where girls still would feel a great deal of shame, they're going to be the ones that don't tell and that end up trying to hide it and then have a birth where there's a terrible outcome.
Isn't that the irony of it all?
Yeah.
It comes back to religion. Mm-hmm. It comes back to God. It comes back to like, what we're doing all the right things here. And I can guarantee some of these folks that I know who've had that story, their uber Republican spouse has no fucking clue.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And that's the reality of it, that this stuff happens. And just because we like to pretend it doesn't, and we're going to legislate against it happening, doesn't mean it's not going to fucking happen. And when it happens and young people make bad choices, which inevitably they will, we can't be shocked by them. Mm-hmm. That's the scary part of this. Stacey, what are people saying in the chat?
Oh, it's blowing up. Jeannie said, feeling that baby move in the last trimester, what did she think it was? Taco Bell? I had to point that one out. I thought that was a interesting one. And Jeannie also said, I was her age when I had my son. I was scared to death when I was in labor. Can't imagine doing it at home. Mm-hmm. And I want to add the other part. Can't imagine doing it alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've had like food poisoning by myself. It's terrifying. You think you're going to die. I can't imagine giving birth to a child by yourself and trying to hide it. I can't imagine what she was going through by herself, that she didn't feel that she could call a friend.
Yeah.
She couldn't call her parents. She couldn't call an RA if she was in a dorm. I mean, I just... And why, it's not to why say that can't those you things, call somebody?
Well, and that's not to say those things didn't exist, that she couldn't have. She chose
she
not
didn't.
To.
She did. She chose didn't feel not that to. She could yeah. do that. So what is going on in her world that she feels that if she reaches out to her best friend, she's going to be judged? If something tragic happened to me right now like that, there's at least five people in my life that I know I could call and say, holy shit, what do I do here?
Mm-hmm. And what was that? I mean, exactly. Like, what is that? Is that shame? Is that, were they, would they not be receptive in any way, shape, or form? I mean, and they again, like I said earlier, her circle, her family, they may have been completely, oh my gosh, we're going to help you get through this. We don't know the answer. It could
know.
Have been a distortion in her mind, thinking that it would have been a completely different reaction. I'm just thinking back to being young, and there's many a times where you think, oh my God, my family's going to think this of me if I tell them that. Mm-hmm. And if it you do tell them, they're like, oh, you're like, holy shit, that returned it a lot better than I thought it would. But your brain at that moment in time is telling you otherwise. And and sometimes you don't know till you get there. And again, that's reps, that's experience, that's age, that's developing your prefrontal cortex and understanding that just because you tell yourself something's going to be horrific doesn't mean it is. But again, perfect storm of all this. You can't expect someone of that age to be thinking as they would at 40 as they are at 20 or 22 or whatever she was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very true.
Anything else in the chat that's of note?
Yes. Let me go back to it and see if I can find it. The last 24 says, was this like the child that was pushed into beauty pageants? But in this case, she was pushed into cheerleading. Pure speculation here. I did see a picture of her online where she was the fairest of the fair. Like she was either she had won it. She had the crown on her head. I know in the South, beauty pageants are a very big deal. Again, it's that body image, having to live up to maybe the parents' standards. I've known a lot of people in pageants down south.
Every image of her that we've seen online other than her mugshot has been carefully curated.
Correct.
I mean, anything that she like get out there, she looks perfect. She looks beautiful and great. But there's a facade to that, obviously, because what was going on the outside was not what was going on the inside. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, let's talk about that culture a little bit. And I don't know how much that would have played into this, but just theoretically, that whole scene, the scene of let's get our young girls to start looking like they're far older than they actually are. I'm talking more like the JonBenet type where, you know, they had her dressed up like a 30-year-old prostitute and she's, you know, a small child. That's a very toxic world, a very toxic land that seems to exist out there. And then I can't imagine there's anything healthy at the end of the day that comes out of that shit. As much as the pageant moms like to tell themselves that there is, I think you end up with a lot of fucked up kids.
You're parading around in a bathing suit. I mean, I was in the Miss Teen Minnesota pageant, and I felt violated when I was done. I was out in heels and a swimsuit. I have the picture. It's mortifying. Looking back at it now, I'm like, what the F was I doing?
How did that happen? How did you get into, like, was that a choice? You signed up? I don't know the story.
It was a choice, absolute choice. And you paid money to enter these pageants. It's not like, oh, you're gorgeous, we need you in this pageant. No, you paid good damn money to be part of this pageant. So what was required was a gown, and both had to be in heels, and a swimsuit. And then this one didn't have a talent competition, but there I was parading around in a one-piece swimming suit with black, like, high heels. Like, they had to be, I think it was 3-inch heels or higher.
And how old were you?
I was 15.
Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And this is normalized. I mean, this stuff still is normalized out there. Mm-hmm. It's insane. It's insane. The parallels of the universe that we live in and the country that we live in and the standards that we have. And on one hand, we say, this is horrible, this is exploitative. And the other one, it's like, sign up.
Yeah.
We'll take your money. Yeah. This sounds great. And then when something horrible happens and these kids end up totally fucked in the head, oh, we don't know how that happened. Mm-hmm. Like, gee, I wonder. Mm-hmm. It's a horrible case all around, but an interesting one to dive into psychologically because, I feel like we're at the tip of the iceberg with more of this shit. Mm-hmm. Siobhan Scott, thank you for joining us. Your memoir out right now, Nightbird, very much worth checking out. And then, of course, The Minds of Mass Killers, both available wherever books are sold. Please do go and check all of those out. That'll wrap this up. Until next time, for Todd, for Stacey, for Siobhan, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers Podcast.